And we're back. This is Alan Crane coming to you live, shore to shore, across this magnificent country of ours from an undisclosed location somewhere in the great state of Nevada. Now, we're going to be doing things a little bit differently tonight. We will be opening things up for your calls a little bit later in the program, but first we're going to present to you an episode of an old radio show titled In the Dark. Now, In the Dark was a short-lived horror show that played in the 40s on the equally short-lived Golden Mutual Network. Now, if you were to check on the internet, check the episode guides for In the Dark, what few there are, you'll find that the final episode was titled Deadly Fortune. However, there have been rumors of a final after the final episode, as it were, an episode that never aired, and of which there are no records but rumors, something titled Seven Pillars of Alabaster. Well, it so happens that I mentioned that legend on our program a few weeks ago, and what do you know, out of the blue, one of our listeners sent me a transcription disc that purports to be this very program. He claims he found it at an estate sale several years ago and listened to it once and hid it away and never listened to it again. It was so terrifying. So we're going to be playing that program for you tonight, and then afterward we'll be talking with a couple of experts, Richard Sunderland and Lionel Hawking, about what they think of the program and whether or not it could be real or a hoax. But first, let's listen to the program, and I do apologize to our listeners for the quality of the audio. Keep in mind, this is a very old recording.
You. Are you scared to turn out your lights? You should be. You never know what kind of In the Dark.
Tonight's episode, The Seven Pillars of Alabaster.
Oh, what a darling shop.
Are you kidding? Everything here is old.
It's an antique shop, silly. It's supposed to be old.
Yeah, but what's the point? You can afford new furniture. You don't need this old scratched up stuff.
This old, scratched-up stuff is history. Everything in here carries a piece of its past with it.
Pieces of the past, huh? Is that why everything costs so much? Because of the extra pieces?
Ha ha. Just look, there are some books over there. If you like old books, find something to read and I'll be right back.
Find something to read, she says. Like I'm gonna find anything interesting in these stacks. What is this? Basics of Accounting from 1907. History of Croatia, volume... Wow, how many volumes are there? What's this? No name on the spine, just a bunch of lines. Well, let's open it up and check the title. Oh my, it can't be.
Yes, sir. Did you find everything you were looking for?
Not exactly. I want to buy this book, but I couldn't find a price on it.
Let's see, wait. Where did you get this?
It fell out of the stacks over there. How much is it?
I'm terribly sorry, sir. This book is not for sale.
But I've got to have it. I'll pay any price.
No matter what price you offer, you cannot match the price I've already paid.
But do you have any idea what you've got there?
I have every idea. You are the one with no idea. This book is not what you think it is.
So what is it?
A hoax, sir, nothing more. A trifling amusement. Now if you'll excuse me, I must make sure it is safely locked away.
There you are. Did you find a book you wanted?
I found a book. It's not for sale. Let's get out of here.
Stinks in here.
It's an antique shop. Everything's old. What you smell is decay.
So, where is this thing?
In this office somewhere. Don't worry about it. You just look for the safe. I'll worry about the book.
Wait, I'm breaking into this place for a buck?
No, you're breaking into this place for whatever jewelry and other valuables you can find. I'm in it for the book.
Must be some book.
It's not just any book. You ever heard of the Necronomicon?
The what?
The Necronomicon. It's a book. Ever heard of it?
Yeah, when I say the what like that, it means I never heard of it. Found the safe over here.
This guy, H.P. Lovecraft, writes these stories about this book that's so evil just reading it will drive you insane. That's if you're lucky.
And this book is what you're looking for?
No, it's made up. It doesn't exist. What I'm looking for is the real book that inspired it. The Seven Pillars of Alabaster.
That doesn't sound very evil.
No, it doesn't. There's supposed to be a curse on those who read the book. They go insane, they kill themselves, they die in freak accidents, or so they say.
Why would you want a book with a curse like that?
Curse is hogwash, no such thing. But the book is incredibly rare and valuable.
So why haven't I heard of this book before? I mean, I ain't so much about the reading, but a curse, you'd think that'd be news. Like King Tut's tomb?
The book is written in ancient Persian. Hardly anyone can read it, and even fewer want to, given its reputation. So not a lot of people get cursed.
Can you read ancient Persian?
Of course not.
Finally. I'm getting rusty. So wait, you're here to steal a cursed book you can't even read?
The book I saw today was a handwritten translation into English. I've never heard mention of one. That opening passage about the seven pillars? Unmistakable. As far as I know, this is the only English translation in existence.
This book, it have a red leather cover?
Yeah, how'd you know?
It's here in the safe.
And that's what it will stay.
Whoa, easy there.
Don't move, either of you. The police are on their way.
Bennett, you're gonna owe me big time.
How you figure?
When you told me we was knocking over an antique store, I thought, antiques, easy picking. But that gun he's holding don't look like no antique.
It is not. And let me assure you, it is in excellent working condition.
Well, I believe you. It's obviously in better shape than the one Bennett's wearing.
What? You have a pistol? Pull it out slowly and...
Are you crazy, Duke? He could have killed me.
Relax. He wasn't going to shoot you. Not like that.
And why'd you tell him I had a gun anyway?
So I could use the distraction to pull mine.
But if he's not the type to shoot, why did you need the distraction?
Because if I was wrong, he'd be aiming at you and not me. Better safe than sorry. You can thank me later. We gotta get out of here before the cops arrive, and then you can figure out how you're gonna pay me.
Pay you? For what?
I just shot a man.
I didn't ask you to.
No, but I did it on your behalf, and now there's murder involved. I'm gonna need a bigger payoff than some old coins and a cursed book I don't want.
I wouldn't worry about the police.
He's still alive.
Not for long.
You're going to have bigger problems than the police. Kethul, Magrab, Alju.
What'd you do that for? He was practically dead already.
No witnesses, and I didn't like those words he was saying. Come on.
What happened?
Nothing you need to worry about.
What's that supposed to mean?
Exactly what he said. Don't worry about it.
What's Duke doing here? You promised me you were through with him.
Yeah, I love you too.
He was just paying back a favor is all.
And I think maybe I overpaid.
What's that?
Nothing. Just a book.
Just a book, he says. Can you look at this? I got goosebumps.
What is he?
Nothing. Hey, Duke, it's late. Why don't you go?
Old guy, chanting him weird words.
What words?
Just some nonsense. Gibberish.
Kethul, Magrab.
How did you know that?
What? I picked up the book and it opened to this page. He must have read this part a lot.
Bennett, you gotta get rid of that book.
What's the matter? Duke, are you scared?
I just don't like them words, is all. They give me the creeps.
Well, if they'll get you out of my house, by all means, let's keep reading. Kethul Magrab Hajul. Fintok Het Okru.
Stop! Stop reading!
Oh, what the hell?
Come.
Are you going crazy, Hal?
Hey, you mustn't read that on the air!
Who is this guy?
I'm Hal Jameson. I wrote tonight's script.
This is ridiculous. Hey, Otto, are we still on the air?
What's going on?
You mustn't read that spell out loud! It could have terrible consequences!
Wait, are you saying it's real?
Yes, it's real!
I'm not listening to any more of it. Otto, we're off the air, right? You want us to pick up where we left off, or...
What the hell?
I can't see Otto, but there's blood all over the control booth.
What's going on?
Look, I'm a big fan of Lovecraft, okay? And I've heard for years that he based the Necronomicon on a real book, the Seven Pillars of Alabaster. That's not its real title. Nobody knows what the original title was. So one day, I'm at this university library sale, and way at the bottom of one of the stacks of the books, I find this one with no title, just seven white lines in the spine. I open it up, and it's the book.
That's crazy.
So you wrote a script about it.
Hey, it's not easy making these things up every week. You take what ideas you can get. The point is, I thought it would add a nice touch of credibility to it, include an actual passage from the book.
So you're saying that this Cthulhu Magrab had jewels?
Give me that! All of you, give me those scripts! You mustn't read this! My house has been destroyed! And those thieves!
I'm getting out of here.
Me too!
It won't open, like it's locked from outside.
It's them. They've trapped us in here.
Who?
There are people who believe in the book, who worship it, I guess you could say.
Cultists?
Yes! They must want to make sure the spell is recited over the air.
What for?
Because the spell summons things from another world. Abominations, like the things that destroyed my house. But you see, they're summoned wherever the spell is spoken. Even if that sound is coming from a speaker. If this thing gets read out over the network, those things will appear everywhere!
You expect us to buy this?
You're crazy! Let us out! Let us out!
There's someone at the door of the control booth, covered in blood, just staring at me. Let us out! You hear?
Oh, come on!
Unlock the door and let us out! Stop staring and let us out!
So these men who've trapped us, do you think they'll kill us if we don't say the spell?
Maybe. Who knows?
So, we should say it.
Don't be stupid.
I'm not. We know that their threat is real, because Duke's looking at one of them right now, and he's apparently covered in Otto's blood. On the other hand, we only have your ravings as to what will happen if we say Cthulhu...
Stop!
Don't worry, I have her script. She can't finish it.
You don't think so? What do you think I'd do while the boys get to have their long scenes without me? I read ahead, and memorize as much as I can, so that it sounds more natural when I say it. I have a very good memory. And those words, they're easy to remember. They're like a song stuck inside my head, desperate to be sung. They want to be said. Cthulhu Magrab.
Stop it!
Jewel.
Stop it, please!
Guy, coming closer. He's pointing at the scripts in Hal's hand.
Some tote.
No.
Het.
No, I'll make you stop. What did you do that for?
She's right. We have to read the words. Give me that.
Absolutely.
No! Stop! Stop, please!
No, please!
You! You at home! Turn off your radios! Don't listen! Gotta stop it! Gotta break the glass into the control room. Take us off the air! They'll kill me! Doesn't matter. Time's running out.
Oh, God.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are currently experiencing technical difficulties with our network transmissions. Please be assured that we will return to our regularly scheduled programming as soon as possible. In the meantime, please enjoy this program of recorded dance music from the Ritz Savoy featuring Chip Luntz and his orchestra. And that's that. Chilling. This is Alan Crane back with you on the program. You've been listening to the final episode, purported final episode of Horror Show in the Dark, titled Seven Pillars of Alabaster. Now I have with me in the studio tonight two experts on old radio, Mr. Richard Sunderland and Mr. Lionel Hawking. Richard Sunderland is an entertainment reporter and old radio enthusiast. And how are you tonight, Mr. Sunderland?
Well, howdy, I'm fine.
And Mr. Lionel Hawking is a radio historian and a college professor. Mr. Hawking, how are you tonight?
Good evening. I'm quite fine, thank you.
Right, now, let's start off with you, Mr. Hawking. What do you make of the program?
Well, it's quite obviously a hoax, isn't it? I mean, it's laughable. Aside from the ridiculousness of say the man talking while he's working the dials of the safe, he can't even hear the tumblers. And then You know, there's the patent nonsense where they claim that this book is written in ancient Persian and then recite a magical spell that's absolute gibberish. That's obviously not ancient Persian. It's simply laughable that anyone could take this seriously.
Mr. Sunderland, I take it you disagree?
Well, I don't know nothing about ancient Persian. I will have to defer to my colleague, Mr. Hawking, on that point. But you'll notice at no point in the program do they really claim it's ancient Persian. I mean, you've got basically two stories in here, and I think Mr. Hawking's kind of mixing them up. You've got the scripted portion of the program, the script that was written by Mr. Jameson, that includes obvious fictional elements like how he found the book. You'll notice that in the program they find the book at an antique store, while when he's telling how he found the book, supposedly in real life, he's saying he found it in a university library. So, obviously, in the fictionalized portion, you can't take any of that as true, and that's the only place where they really make the ancient Persian claim.
Mr. Hawking, your comments?
Well, I suppose he's right, but, I mean, seriously, listen to this gibberish. I just happen to have here a copy of the transcript of the spell that they said, and it's... I mean, just listen to
this.
Where'd
you get that?
Oh, never mind where I got it. I've just... Listen to this gibberish. How can you even believe anything like this? Kethul Magrab Haljul, Fentok Het Okum, Absalum Ansalin Mukt Dojve, Insharam.
What are you doing in here? You can't be in here.
Inverum Operum Mukt Dojve, Kethul Hok Sinai Dojve, Dojve Ankatum. It is finished. Finally. And for all of you listening at home, you have the great honor of being the first sacrifices to my master's new order upon the earth. Bask in this great honor in the short time you have left before an eternity of screams. You have been listening to the Fraser's Brain Theater of the Ear production of The Final Broadcast. Included in the cast were Eilish O'Neill, Paul Battiger, Randy Ferran, and the man who spoke to you was Tony Fraser. The script for tonight's episode was written by Tony Fraser, with music by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. We thank you for joining us, and wish you pleasant dreams. And remember, there's a voice in the night. Listen.